Joshua chapter 1, our text tonight is found in verses 10 through 18. Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." Father, we thank thee tonight for thy word, the Holy Scriptures, and pray that thou wouldst, by thy Spirit, open the instruction of this portion to our hearts, that we might be helped in our Christian lives this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our topic tonight is principles of commitment. I suppose many of us have heard of the three frogs sitting on the log. And one of these frogs decided to jump off the log and into the water. How many frogs were left on the log? Somebody guessed it right. Three. The one only decided to jump. In other words, there's a great lack sometimes between our intentions as Christians and our accomplishments as Christians. And many times we have great determinations that never result. And here in this portion of the book of Joshua, we find that Joshua makes some very important decisions and accomplishes some very important steps in the progress here of the people of God. And as we look at this portion, I believe we find some basic principles in what Joshua does. And I'd like to call these here principles of commitment. Principles on which we should evaluate our commitment to God. First of all, I think we can notice as we compare verses 1 through 9 with the second section, 10 through 18. In the first section, we find God encouraging Joshua several times, and then he ends in verse 9 with a strong encouragement, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And so he gives Joshua here some good, strong, solid encouragement to act. And so I think the first step that we see here is that we need to act when we are encouraged. A basic principle of commitment. When we are encouraged, we need to do something about it. And God here encouraged Joshua. And in verse 9, then he gives him strong encouragement. And we find then in verse 10, immediately, we find that Joshua takes some steps of action. And verse 10 tells us that Joshua commanded the officers of the people. He did something about it right away. Immediate action as he was encouraged by God. And I think sometimes we lose the steam of God's blessing upon us by not acting immediately upon what God has told us to do. And Joshua here commanded the officers of the people. Now these officers were probably types of scribes. The word actually here, shoterim, means to write. And so the word officers here means writers. This would be the idea then of scribes, or those that were in charge of the register of the people. Those who were in charge of assigning the people to either public works or military duty, something like that. This would be a type of communication system. And so Joshua then gives word to the communication system to pass out word to the heads of the people to take some immediate action on this which God has told them to do. And so the motivation was high. And when God speaks to us and God motivates us, we should seek to take some steps of action immediately upon this. We find that the Lord Jesus faced this with some would-be followers. Luke chapter 9 and verse 59. Jesus said to some people there, "Follow me." And one of them replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me." In other words, if you're going to do it, you better do it now. And if you don't do it now, you probably never will do it. And so set aside things that are not really your responsibility and follow me now. Another one said to him, "Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go bid farewell to those in my house." And Jesus said to him, "No farewell parties, because if you're going to follow me, you come now." And it's so easy for us to get distracted. God speaks to us about something and we put it on the back burner and we let it set there and it sets and it sets. And we never really do anything about that which God speaks to us. And so when God motivates us, we need to act. We need to take some steps of action. I know sometimes I've gone to seminars and the last day of the seminar then, they will say, especially management type seminars, they're strong on this. And the last day of the seminar, they'll say, "Now you make a list of the things that you are going to do within, say, 2 days or 3 days when you get home." Or maybe even list the things you're going to do the day you get home. Or sometimes they may give you a little more time. If you don't do this within the first week that you get home, you just wasted your $700 or whatever you paid for the seminar. They're getting more expensive all the time, you know. The principle here is if you don't do something about it right away, you're not going to do anything. And Moses here, or rather Joshua here, immediately takes steps to do that which the Lord commands him to do. And he said, "Tell the people to begin preparing food, because 3 days and we are going to begin our process of crossing the River Jordan." Now, another advantage here, they began preparing the food right away, and as they got food prepared, the more food they got prepared, they wouldn't have anything to do with it if they didn't take their trip, their journey into the Promised Land. And so we need to begin to do something when God speaks to us, to take our first steps that we might not fail in that which He is encouraging us to do. And even if we figure the longest possible time schedule that we can in this portion, we still have to confess that within 1 week from this time, they were in the land of Canaan, and the waters were closed again, and they had no means of going back again. And so within, at the longest time schedule, 1 week, they were in the Promised Land after Joshua's command. And so we need to act when we are encouraged. And there's a difference here. Sometimes we try to encourage people to act. We try to encourage people to make commitments. But I think rather than encouraging people to make commitments to us, we need to encourage people to make commitments to God, so that as God speaks to your heart, for example, in a service, it isn't important that you make a commitment to me. The important thing is that within the shortest time possible, you take steps on the commitment that God is speaking to you about. Because it's so easy to make a commitment to a person and then forget about it. But as you begin to take steps on a commitment that God has encouraged you to make to Him, then each step that you take gets you one step closer to the fulfilling of that which He has commanded you to do. And so it's so important after a service and the first and during the week, as God has spoken to your heart, to ask God to make the commitments that you've made to Him very real in your life. And God's faithful in doing this. He'll bring circumstances into our lives to enable us to put into practice the things that He has spoken to us of. We need to do that as soon as possible. Act when you're encouraged. Secondly, we find the second principle we find here is to act on what you know to be the plan of God. Now, notice in verse 11, Joshua tells the people that within 3 days, he says, we are going to begin to pass over this river Jordan and possess the land the Lord gave us. This is Joshua's faith on what God had promised. And in verse 2 of the same chapter, God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And so Joshua knew that God had promised them the land. And so he was acting on what God had promised, that which God had said was His plan for them, that He was going to give them the land. And this is important, that we act on that which God has shown to be His plan for us. In other words, that which God shows to us as to His plan for us. This is a realistic look at what God has for our lives. The Lord Jesus faced the same thing also in Luke chapter 9, when one young man came to Him and said, Lord, I will follow You wherever You go. And the Lord Jesus turned to him and said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests and the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. In other words, that sounds good, but I think you need to be realistic. Are you looking at this thing realistically? And so the halo sometimes of Christian service is a hindrance to us, and we need to be sure of that which to which we are committing ourselves. We need to know what we're getting into. Jesus said there's the wide road, and then the road to life is a narrow road. And sometimes we picture salvation to people even as being something no problems, whereas it's a narrow road. And so we need to look at these things realistically. I think sometimes missionaries are fail here in that the way of life on the mission field, the work on the mission field, is not always presented as factually as it should be, so that as young people sense the call of God, they're aware of what they are actually going to face. And sometimes there is a false idealism because there hasn't been the frankness and the clarity. And Jesus sought to dispel this with that young man. No false idealism, but rather something realistic. And also, God's plan is not only realistic, but God's plan always includes faith. God's plan is not possible of human fulfillment. Now, the Israelites here were on the bank of Jordan. We read that Jordan at this time of year always overflowed its banks. And so here they had a surging, overflowing river. And all of these people, with all of their little children, all having to get across this Jordan River. And as God said to Moses, I want you to cross this Jordan River, we have here a situation where nobody was going to say, oh, well, this is no problem, we'll just go across tomorrow. It was a situation in which they had to recognize the fact that God was going to have to intervene for them to accomplish this particular thing that He was commanding them. And so on the one hand, it needs to be realistic. On the other hand, it needs to require faith. And God's ways require faith. The plan of God is always something that requires the power of God, something that is not capable of human fulfillment. And if in the what I believe to be the plan of God, there's no room for God to show his power, then perhaps I don't really have the plan of God. Because God always leaves room in his plan for showing his power. And it is a plan that requires faith. We find this all throughout Scripture. There's the balance of human responsibility and divine fulfillment. On the one hand, God requires things of us. And on the other hand, he leaves room for his fulfilling things on our behalf. Here we have, for example, I want you to go in and take the land. On the other hand, he says, I am giving you the land. And so we find that there's the responsibility that they have, and at the same time, there's God's promise of what he's going to do. Always the area of divine fulfillment. And so God here tells them to cross the Jordan. And he does this in such a way that it's evident that he is the one that is taking them in. And so as we consider our commitments to God, we want to know his plan. And these are ways of recognizing his plan. The combination in his plan of human responsibility gives us something to do, and of divine fulfillment that is necessary, because we cannot fulfill his plan without this divine intervention. The third thing that we have in this section is that we must act first on unfulfilled commitments. We find that Joshua here says to the tribe of the Reubenites, Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, that they had a commitment that still needed to be fulfilled. They had made a commitment with Moses that if they could settle on the eastern side of the Jordan, that they would then help the other tribes to gain their possession on the west side of Jordan. And so they had an existing, unfulfilled commitment. And Joshua says to them in verse 13, remember the word. Remember the commitment that you have made. The commitment that you made to Moses, that you said you would go across and deliver, help to deliver the other tribes, help them to fight their battle of gaining their land. There were probably about 110,000 men of war amongst those 2.5 tribes. We read that 40,000 of them went across, probably leaving the other soldiers on the west bank to protect their own families and cities that were there. But they fulfilled their responsibility of sending these 40,000 troops along to fulfill their promise. And so he says, remember. And there's our responsibility to act first on unfulfilled commitments. The responsibilities that we have that must be fulfilled. Psalm chapter 15 and verse 4, we read, one of the kinds of men, or one of the qualities of the man that God blesses, is that he swears to his own hurt and changes not. In other words, he says he's going to do something, then afterwards he finds it's a little bit inconvenient. But he fulfills it anyway, because he's a faithful man. And he's not going to refuse to fulfill it just because it's inconvenient for him. He keeps his word. And so dependability is doing what I said I would do, even if it requires unexpected sacrifice. We can't say, well, when I said that, it was a good deal for me, and now it's not a good deal for me. Well, that's too bad. Sorry. You said you would do it. You can't say, well, I didn't know it was going to turn out that way. Well, you said you were going to do it. But if it's really a situation that should not be fulfilled, then you have to go to the person and get released. And we find this in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, where we are told that if you make a commitment and you find that it was really the wrong thing to do, then you go to the person, and Proverbs says you go quickly and you get yourself released from that commitment. You get that person to agree to release you from that commitment, perhaps giving him a creative alternative, but you must fulfill your word. Dependability is doing what I said I would do, even if it requires unexpected sacrifice. And God holds us to our commitments, and we need to act first then on unfulfilled commitments, as these Israelites did. Then the fourth thing we have here is we need to act under protection. Under the protection of God's appointed leadership. We find in verses 16 to 19 that the Israelites here say, "All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." They are responding here to their responsibility to God given to them here through Joshua. Now, many times our commitments to God will include also commitments to men. And our commitments to God should always be under God-ordained authority. And here we find the Israelites committing themselves to Joshua in the fulfilling of their commitments to God. A person who claims great commitment to God but is disloyal to God-ordained authority is violating a basic principle of commitment, because there is a relationship between our commitment to God and our submission to God-ordained authority. We, in Scripture, for example, are commanded to pray for those over us in authority. This is not only for those in government, but all who are over us in authority. We are commanded to pray for those who are over us. And you know that prayer for those over us in authority can be a very superficial thing unless we are committed to those over us in authority. For example, if we have the thought, the contemplation, that if things don't go just right, we will jump ship, then we're not going to really pray sincerely for those over us in authority. Today, for example, prayer for those over us in authority in the local church. Praying, for example, for those in leadership in the local church can be a very superficial thing unless we are committed to those who are over us. This is the same situation in marriage, for example. We are told that a wife is to pray for her husband. And if she has the idea that if things just don't go right, she'll skip out, then she's not going to really pray with sincerity and with dedication. In a church, we find that if a person is not really committed to a church, he's not really going to pray for the leadership of the church. Because if things don't go just right, he'll leave. But if he has made a commitment, for example, if a husband and wife have really committed themselves to one another and follow the scriptural pattern of marriage, that is, as they said when they got married, "This is till death do us part," then when some problems come, you don't have in the back of your mind, "Well, if this gets too bad, I'll just jump out of it." You have in the back of your mind, "I better get to prayer, because this is till death do us part, and I don't want this to kill me." But you see the seriousness it puts into your prayers? Because you're committed. And in a local church, if a person thinks, "Well, if things get too bad..." Especially in Grand Rapids. There are so many churches in Grand Rapids. You can change churches so fast and so often here without any problem. It's unbelievable. But if you're committed and you don't have in the back of your mind that if things get a little difficult, I can always, you know, there's always that and that and that, and I've always wanted to go there. Things get a little difficult, I can always just slip out. Then you're not really going to pray. But if you realize that you are committed, then if there are some pressures that come, you really begin praying, because you realize in your own mind, "I'm here to stay no matter what, and so I better get to praying, because there's some need for prayer here." And so you see the importance of commitment to those who are over us in authority. And so these Israelites say to Joshua, they affirm to him their commitment. The commitment that they have made to God, they affirm it here to Joshua. And I think this is a very important thing. I think it's a disaster when people leave a church when it's down. That's a disaster. Not so much for the church, because the church hasn't lost that much. But it's a disaster for the person, because they have lost the principle of commitment in self-seeking. And so the principle of commitment that they show here to Joshua was basic in their commitment to God. And there can be no real prayer when there's no commitment. Now, we need then to act under protection. We need to be committed to God-ordained authority, and this is basic to genuine prayer. Now, one more thing under acting under the protection of divinely appointed leadership. There is a danger of unprotected ministries. I think we need to beware of committing ourselves to ministries that are not under the protection of the authority of the local church. I think as we look at history, and we don't have to go back very far in history, current history as well as past history, I think we will see that ultimately ministries that have not been under the protection of the local church ultimately do damage to the work of God. We see this, for example, in the area of seminaries. It's been an amazing thing to me how fast a seminary can go under. It's unbelievable how rapidly a seminary can get away from the gospel. Now, praise God, there are some, when they start out, they're good. They're tied into the scriptures, and it looks good, and everybody gets excited, but it's amazing how fast they can separate from the gospel. And it's a known fact that churches are corrupted by students coming from seminaries that have departed from the scriptures. And the seminary students from those seminaries that have departed from the from the scriptures then go to the churches. The churches still being solid, these pastors then start coming into the churches, and then the churches start going. And so it's a known struggle. Many places where the main body of believers in a church will have a tremendous battle because they are beginning to get students, beginning to get men prepared in the seminaries into their churches who have all of this instruction that is not true to Scripture, and the people realize it, but it comes in subtly, and they have a struggle then with the ministry that is being sent to them. And so the departure from the faith, characteristically, as you study church history just here in the United States, characteristically, the departure from the faith begins in these seminaries, and that pervades then into the churches and corrupts the churches. And so it's so important that any kind of a training ministry be under the authority of the local church. The same thing with mission boards. The churches many, many times are much more true to the faith than the mission boards. The departure from the faith will start out there as well. Reason being that many times these are not under the protection of the local church. And we could mention many other types of ministries that are not under the protection of the local church. And as a result, there is this departure. Jesus said, "I will build my church." And that's the only thing he's building, is the church. He's not building anything else. And so if we want to build with him, that's what we have to build. We have to build the church. And all other ministries must be under the protection of the church if they are going to remain true to the Word of God. There is a proportionate deterioration of these ministries to the degree to which they are separated from the local church. To the degree to which they are tied in and under the authority of the local church, they remain true then to the Scriptures. And so we need to act under protection. And so as we look at the entire picture here, we find that we need to ask ourselves, do I have a commitment in my life that is unprotected? Do I have a commitment in my life that is not under the protection of the local church? That means that ultimately that commitment is going to be a problem to me and to my church. Commitments, our commitments as Christians need to be under the protection of the local church. Do I have an unprotected commitment? Secondly, do I have an unfulfilled commitment? Is there some commitment that I've made that I have never really fulfilled to God? Then that needs to be my priority. I need to do that first. And Joshua said to the Israelites that we're going to remain on the western bank. Your first commitment is what you said to Moses that you would do, what you said to God to Moses what you would do. Do I have an unfulfilled commitment? Sometimes it's so easy going around getting all kinds of new commitments to God and forgetting about those things that we've already said that we would do and we have not fulfilled. And then thirdly, do I have an unrealistic commitment? A commitment that is really wrongly made because it's unrealistic. Maybe I need to get that excused and pardoned. Maybe I need to go to the individuals and plead with them that they will free me from that commitment because it's an unrealistic one. And we need to ask ourselves these things. Perhaps God wants me to make a new commitment to Him. Maybe there's something that God has been speaking to your heart about that He wants you to do. And it would be easy for us to have a very emotional commitment service here and say, now, would you at this time commit yourself to doing this? And by the time you got home, the emotion would be gone and your commitment would be gone. And so what we'd like to tell you right now, if God is speaking to you about something that He wants you to do, something, some area in which you know He wants you to commit yourself to Him, our word of counsel to you would be, do something right now. As soon as you possibly can, tonight, take your first step. Joshua said, we can't really go over the Jordan River tonight. We aren't ready. But we can start fixing our food. And so I would say, do something tonight. Take one step. Make one telephone call or whatever the first step is, make one step towards doing that which God has commanded you to do, the commitment that God is expecting of you. And that'll take you a lot further down the road than making some kind of an emotional commitment to me. Determine before God right now what that first step is and do that. And that will get you started down the road. A new commitment. What you can do this day, still today. What you feel can be done this week towards that commitment that God has asked of you. And so we find that God has here for us in this experience of Joshua, some basic principles of commitment. We need to act when we are encouraged and take advantage of that encouragement that God gives us. We need to act in what we know to be the plan of God, realistic and requiring faith. We need to act first on our unfulfilled commitments. Then we need to make sure that all of our commitments are protected, that they're under the protection of divinely appointed authority. Shall we bow in prayer? Father, we thank Thee tonight that You seek to protect us from that which would otherwise bring problems into our lives. And Father, we desire that our lives be completely committed to Thee. We desire that we make regular steps of commitment to Thee, that we might advance in our Christian lives in the ways in which You desire us to, and that we conquer the land that You have for us. You've told us every place where the foot of our sole or our foot shall tread will be ours, and there are very definite commitments then that You want us to make. And so we pray, Father, that we might not be lax in these areas, but that as You speak to our hearts, that we might act immediately upon these things, that we might seek to evaluate the commitments that we have, if they are truly realistic, if they are truly faith-oriented, that we will place first things first and do the things that you have told us to do in the past that we've failed to do and have not done, and that we will be faithful, Father, to the authority that you've placed over us, and that we will not spend time and effort in that which will ultimately not only not bring blessing, but ultimately even be a means of deterioration to the work of God. And so we pray, Father, you'd give us wisdom in these areas, make us wise in our commitments, that we might please you in these areas, have the joy of the victory that Joshua knew as he led the people of Israel into the promised land. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.